Open our Bibles at Philippians and chapter 2. Philippians and chapter 2 and verses 1 to 11. Thanks, Simon.
If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship
with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place, and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
So we've been taking time these last few weeks to reflect on this theme of living joy. The idea that joy is something that is not static, it's dynamic, it's alive, and we can live in that joy, and we can be example symbols of that joy. And as you will know, joy can arise in the strangest of places. Even when we don't expect it, there can be joy, little glimpses of joy, because there's a difference between joy and happiness. Our context and our circumstances may be tragic, and as a result, we're not happy, because happiness is to do with our circumstances, but joy is to do with our relationship with God, knowing that we are loved with an everlasting love, so that in spite of our circumstances sometimes, in spite of what's going on around us, we see and experience the love of God. We see and experience the light of God right where we are. And the Apostle Paul, in this particular passage, did you note where the joy is? Verse 2, he says, "Then make my joy complete." And he's appealing to the church. And he's not actually saying, make me happy. Because in order for Paul to be happy, his circumstances will have to change. He's in prison. Do you remember we talked about this? He's in prison. He's chained up. And first century prisons were not holiday camps. They were very dark and difficult places. Places of suffering. Many people will have gone to prison in the first century and died in prison, with absolutely no hope at all. So we should not imagine that the Apostle Paul is sitting there in some corner with a nice desk and a quill pen, all the rest of it, writing these letters. He's most likely dictating them to somebody else who's come in to visit him in prison. And he appeals to the church and says, look, you can make my joy complete. I'm full of joy anyway, but you can complete it by how you live. Now today, I'm going to focus just on three elements here. And the first is, we're going to reflect for a moment that Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord. We get that at the end of this passage. And so we're going to begin at the end and then work our way back to the beginning. Jesus Christ is Lord. And then, if you are a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, then live like this. Okay, so that's just how we're going to lay out this passage today. Jesus Christ is Lord. If you're a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, then live like this. So we begin with Jesus Christ is Lord. So verse 5, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, something to be reached for, to be grabbed hold of, to be earned and to have as a reward, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place, gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. Every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And so what we see, first of all, is that God gives to Jesus the highest place. We're told that God exalts Jesus. God lifts Jesus up from the humble place, from the lowest place. God exalts him, lifts him up, and puts him in the highest place. But not only that, not only is Jesus in the highest place at the right-hand side of God the Father, but we're also told that God has given to Jesus the name that is above every name, the name that is higher than any other names. That's why we can sing, name above all names. And we are told that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. And we might say, reflecting on our circumstances, our context this week, if only Jesus was Lord, that would make a difference. You know, nationally, internationally, it would make a difference if Jesus truly was acknowledged as Lord. And yet we hold to this by faith, trusting one day, every knee shall bow at the name of Jesus, and every tongue will confess that he is Lord. But we also see in this passage, yes, that Jesus Christ is Lord. Yes, God has exalted him and given him the highest place at the right hand of God the Father himself on a throne. Not only that, not only has God given him the name that is above every name, but we're also told that God didn't do this on a whim. But it was because Jesus humbled himself and became obedient to God. God has exalted Jesus, given him the name above every name. But why did God do that? Because Jesus first humbled himself. And he took the lowest place. And he became obedient to God. I've retold the story many times when Jesus goes to John the Baptist. And John the Baptist says, no, hang on, I know I'm baptizing all of these people, but you should baptize me because you're greater than I am. And Jesus says, no, you must do this. And we must do this in this way. You must baptize me. And he uses the phrase, in order to fulfill all righteousness. And what he's saying, Jesus is saying, is, I must be obedient to God. This is what God wants for me. And so Jesus will put his life in the hands of John. And Jesus will go into the River Jordan with John. And John will dip him under the water. And Jesus is trusting that John will lift him up out of the water. He humbles himself and takes the low place. On the night Jesus was betrayed, John's gospel tells us that Jesus, when they were eating together, or just before they ate together, he takes off his outer garment, takes a towel, wraps it around his waist, gets a bowl of water, and then kneels one at a time in front of all of his disciples, and he washes their feet. Jesus took the lowest place, the humblest place. And then when they came to arrest him, even though he'd done nothing wrong, when they came to arrest him, he didn't fight back. But he accepted what was going to happen. And he was crucified. The most humiliating, degrading death anybody could experience. It was the most shameful way to die. Jesus took the lowest place. And we're told that having taken the lowest place, having humbled himself, even to death, never once giving up his trust in God, never once given up on love as his prime motivation, he humbled himself even to death, and as a result, God exalted Jesus, raised him from the dead, and gave him the highest place and the highest name. But then we need to reflect, okay, what has that to do with us? That's great, and it's great to come together and sing hymns and songs celebrating the fact that Jesus humbled himself and died on a cross and God exalted him. And it's great to celebrate that. But what does it mean for us? Now, Paul puts this first in the passage. And it really is this challenge. If you are a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, and if you have known something. So chapter 2, if you've got your Bible open, verse 1, it says this. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion. And so the Apostle Paul says, if you are a disciple of the Lord Jesus, if you've known what it is to experience unity, unity with God, if you know what it is to be in Christ, if you know what it is to be in the family of God and to experience there, if you know what it is to be comforted when everything's going wrong, if your heart has been warmed and stirred by being with other believers, or just when you're by yourself, if God has touched your heart, if you know what it is to have the strength of fellowship, that sharing together with others on the journey, that when you're down, they've lifted you up, and when they're down, you've lifted them up. If you've experienced how good this is, and if you've been stirred in your heart with compassion, if you know what it is to be moved by the plight of others, if you're a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, and if you've known these things, then what does he say? Verse 2, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each one of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. So if you are a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, and if you know what it is to experience unity, if you know what it is to experience comfort, and you can see the Apostle Paul is reaching out to them and saying, if you've experienced these things, if you know what I'm talking about here, if you know what the fellowship of the believers it feels like, what it is, and if you've experienced compassion. And then he says, okay, make my joy complete. Live like this. Live humble, put others first, and follow the way of Jesus Christ. Make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. And he goes on, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who humbled himself. Paul says, if you know what I'm talking about, if this is resonating with you, then make my joy complete. Live humble. You live humble, just like Jesus lived humble. Be humble yourself. In humility, consider others better than yourselves. Put others first. Now, that doesn't mean that you don't look after yourself, because you should look after yourself. And it's important to look after yourself. We are told, love God with your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And love your neighbor as you love yourself. Love your neighbor in the same way that you love yourself. So if you're not looking after yourself, you're going to struggle to look after your neighbor. So you must look after yourself. You must love yourself and then say, okay, this is not just for me. I will look after my neighbor and care for them just in that same way that I look after and care for myself. And so he says, consider others better than yourself. But in verse 3, we're told, do nothing out of selfish ambition. What is selfish ambition? This is where Bible study is so exciting. Yeah, I find it exciting anyway. Because, we can read about selfish ambition in the Bible. And what does it come across as? It comes across as, don't be selfish. You know, basically, don't be selfish. But then, if you kind of dig a bit deeper, and you say, if you actually look at the original word that was used and when it was written, first written, you say, how did other people in society, if they used this word, which we've had translated selfish ambition, if they used this word, what did they mean by it? Do you know what it was used for? Electioneering. Electioneering. That's what the word is applied to those who make their way up. Electioneering. Stepping on others to be the best. And so Paul says, this is not to be known among you. You're not to electioneer. You're not to put others above. You're not to put others aside in order that you can get on. This is not an election because Jesus Christ is Lord. And we all serve him. So give that up. And, you know, I do my study and so on, and particularly in the context of this week. And, of course, politics has been all over the place for this last 2 or 3 weeks. You say, how do we respond as followers of Jesus, as disciples of Christ? And the Apostle Paul says absolutely directly, don't you start. Don't you start. This is not for you. You'll know that in the last 2 or 3 weeks with the election campaign and then the election itself and this tragedy at Grenfell, at the Grenfell Tower, lies have begun to emerge. We realise things have been said that are lies, that are not true. We realise that people's lives have been put to one side in the pursuit of profit. People have been ignored. People have been threatened with being sued when they've asked for help. And the Apostle Paul says, that is not to be found in any of you. No selfish ambition, no electioneering, no putting others to the side, no stepping up on others in order that you can be known and seen. And so you need to be humble. And you put others first and you care for others. And you need to live in the way of Jesus Christ. You need to live in the way of Jesus Christ. Very quick quiz. Where was the first place where Christians were called Christians? Antioch. Okay. Now, it was used as a term of abuse. Christian was used as a term of abuse. It was like a swear word. Against people who followed Jesus. But before that, before they were known with this derogatory term, Christian, what were they known as? Followers of the way. Followers of the way. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the way to live. Follow my example. And these early believers, these followers of Jesus, before they were known as Christians, were known as followers of the way. They lived in the way of Jesus Christ. They said, how did Jesus live? We'll live like that. What did Jesus teach? We'll live according to that teaching. And the stories about the Beatitudes would have been passed down to them and told in all the churches. The Sermon on the Mount that was repeated time and time again in the early church would have been repeated for all of them and all new believers, all new followers of the way. This is how you live. You love your enemies. You forgive those who persecute you. You give to everyone who asks. You act with mercy and forgiveness and kindness. You live a life that is overflowing with compassion and love. Because this is the way of Jesus Christ. That's how he lived. And if you are a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that Jesus is Lord, knowing that he humbled himself and took the lowest place, but God has exalted him and given him the highest place with the name above all names, how then should you live? And the Apostle Paul appeals and says, look, if you've known unity, if you've known comfort, if you've known fellowship, if you've known compassion, if your heart has been warmed, if you know what I'm talking about, then live like this. Humble, putting others first, and seek to live in the way of Jesus Christ. May we be those who seek to take this teaching and apply it to every area of our lives, our home lives, our work lives, our politics, You know, maybe I should have, got my timing wrong here. Maybe I should have said all this a couple of weeks ago before we voted. How many of us, when we went to vote, thought, as a follower of Jesus Christ, I must vote according to the values of Jesus Christ? You know, I've talked to Christians in the last few weeks, and they've said to me, yeah, I believe this caring for the poor, but what about the cost? My response has been, what would Jesus do? And as a follower of Jesus, if your politics does not reflect the way of Jesus Christ, I would challenge you to take another look at your following of Jesus Christ. And it's important for us to do that. It seems to me that we live nationally and internationally in very difficult and fragile times. And more than ever, we need to be those who, knowing Jesus is Lord, knowing everyone will answer to him and bow the knee to him, knowing that, we need to be those who say, whatever the cost, I will live according to the way of Jesus. Amen.